This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no e's .com.
Hey, this is Dave Dufour. I'm here to make a special announcement. In two weeks, December 8th of 2012, we are going to be once again gathering at the Bristol Opera House for a live show of Theater Geeks, playing our favorite game show, I Know, which is a test of theater trivia. And we will be having a live audience with prizes and fun and perhaps some special guest. Kevin Agelski is coming along to MC with us again. And there's going to be a very special grand prize for our winners. We're going to be recording three episodes there at the Bristol Opera House on December 8th. That's going to be at December 8th at from 10 o'clock, starting with brunch, and it goes till about noon or so. And you can come if you're in the area, please come. Come and join us. We'd love to meet more of our listeners, and all the proceeds, $10, goes to support our theater, Elkhart Civic Theater. So it's a fundraiser. We don't even make any money on it as the Theater Geeks, but we love doing it, and we would love to have you join us. So think about it. Get more information at theatergeeks.com. There's also some information will be up at elkhartcivictheater.org. If you'd like to make a reservation, call 848-4116, area code 574, anytime between like 1:30 and 5 o'clock p.m. during the week. They may have online ticket sales at some point during the next week or so. I haven't got a confirmation on that, but if you call the office, you'll probably get in touch with Corey and she'll help you out and you'll be able to get tickets there. And again, try to join us. We would love to see you. The Bristol Opera House is in northern Indiana, in Bristol, Indiana, just a little bit, probably about 40 minutes east of South Bend. If you happen to be Notre Dame fans, you know where South Bend is. So we're right along I-90 and easy to get to if you're anywhere within the, that Midwestern, northern tier of the Midwest there, you can get to us. So check it out. That's Theater Geeks Live playing I Know at the Bristol Opera House, December 8th, 2012. And from about 10 o'clock in the morning, starting with brunch, until about noon, we're going to be recording three episodes, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So try to be there.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
What is that?
There it goes. That's Skype making the call.
Oh, no, I mean that boopy noise.
Yeah, boop, 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 boop. Yeah, that's the call. That's the call making the call.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hello, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are in an interesting situation for this is the second episode in a row that we're recording kind of under unusual circumstances. Marcia, you may be able to tell. Say hi, Marcia.
Hi there.
You can kind of tell that she's coming in on a different line, which means that she's down in Indianapolis because her daughter Dee Dee is in the Indiana Rep production of The House That Jack Built, a new play down there that's going on this fall through most of November, right?
Right.
Okay, and she's very excited, and since Dee Dee's in California much of the time, Marcia's spending quality time with her professional actress daughter, so that's really cool. But anyway, we're bringing her in via Skype. We have a guest with us today, Elizabeth Copeman, who is the assistant head of wardrobe at the Stratford Festival in Stratford, Ontario. And let me tell you, if you don't know anything about the Stratford Festival, find out about it. It's just a great place to go year after year,
it's
great
wonderful.
Entertainment. And it's just wonderful. So welcome to Theater Geeks, Elizabeth.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you have some connection to, actually, I'm the only one who has never met you face-to-face here. John and Marcia have both met you face-to-face, and one of our other members, Sandy Strain, who has, I believe, has been on Theater Geeks, in the dim past.
A while ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Quite a while ago. You and she worked together in another life, as we say. But at Stratford, you're the assistant head of wardrobe. What
does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means that I I'm the expediter, I guess, for two of the theaters to make sure the costumes get done for all of the shows. For anyone who doesn't know the festival, it's a repertory theater. So we are usually in the wardrobe building anywhere from 4 to 6 shows all at the same time. And we have one set of openings the beginning of June, usually a couple more late June or in July. And then we have final opening shows in the middle of August. And so we start building in January, and we finish the middle of August. The season runs from April till the end of October.
Yeah, that's one of the weird things about it. I mean, you tell people it's a Stratford Festival, and immediately what comes to mind is, oh, what was it, runs a couple of weeks or a week or a weekend or something like that. But this is it's a six-month-long project, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, it's nice. I think it's nice for a lot of the actors because they start rehearsals in February, and they're going right through until, you know, the following end of October, beginning of November. So it's a nice long contract for lots of people.
Right. Now, when you say you work with the costumes, though, you don't actually design, right, though, Elizabeth?
No, I don't. I used to be an assistant designer. I worked, I think, when I met Marcia, that's what I was doing. I'm not sure if that's what I was doing when I met John or if I'd already moved back down to the wardrobe. But, I used to assist with that. But, you know, comes a time in your life when you're offered a full-time job and maybe it's time to take it, you know. So
absolutely.
I've been assistant head of wardrobe, which is a full-time job at the festival, I'm going into my 12th year.
Well, and I think it shows a lot of times that, you know, designers, but also there's some designers are organizers, and you must be a definite organizer as well.
I think so. Probably if you talk to anyone in my personal life, they'd tell you no, but that's what I do at work. And I'm pretty good at keeping it going.
Yeah.
How many theaters go pretty much full time up there in the season, Elizabeth?
All of the theaters are, none of them are year round, but the festival has the longest running time. And
that's the biggest one, right?
The festival theater, which is the biggest one. It's a thrust stage, seats about 1,800 people. Uh-huh. And then the Avon, or Avon, which however you like to say it, is our second biggest theater. I think it's about 1,200, I think. And it's our only proscenium stage. The other three are all thrust stages. And the Tom Patterson Theater, and then our small one, the seats about 200, 250, is the Studio Theater.
Which is the one that has the really long thrust?
That would be the Tom Patterson
Theater.
That's
the Tom Patterson, yeah.
Yeah.
Which at one time used to be the indoor badminton courts in the summertime, and we used to move in and out. But we now have the building full time, so the stage and everything stays there. And that's been about 2 years now that's been happening.
When I was a kid going up in high school to see shows, that was what it was at that time. And I always thought, that's kind of a cool idea, you know, the theater space in the middle of an athletic space. It's kind of like, ha, 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 you know?
Right, right.
Interesting, yeah.
Well, the town of Stratford was, I mean, pre-festival before, and it was started by Tom Patterson, pre-festival, wasn't it just more or less a middle of Ontario Canadian farming town kind of thing?
It was partly that. It was also a railroad town.
Okay.
And there was a big company called Cooper, and they built railroad cars, and the train still runs through here. We don't have a lot of trains in Canada anymore, but there is one that still goes through Stratford every day. Well, more than one, but in each direction. One in each direction in the morning, one in each direction at night. So at one time it used to go right through to Chicago, and I was always going to get on and come visit, but then they stopped.
Well, yes. The town has really sort of the primary industry now is the festival, isn't it not? Or am I wrong about that?
Pretty much. There are, of course, other industries around and factories and things. But what brings the people to town and a lot of the money to the town is the theater.
Right.
It's a very big deal, and there are a lot of bed and breakfasts here. not a lot of hotels, because it's funny, it started that way. The first year of the theater was started with Tom Patterson, and they did all this big planning for the festival, and nobody gave much thought to where the people were going to stay when they came. So people people began opening their homes and opening bed and breakfasts, and so it's just traditionally here now, there are far more bed and breakfasts than there are hotels for people to stay in.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back to your work. You mm-hmm. you told us before we started the show that you're going to be starting to work on Tommy is one mm-hmm. of the shows for next season, and what's your process? How do you start? Once you know somebody says, okay, hi Elizabeth, mm-hmm. we're doing Tommy, get to work. What happens first? Yeah.
Okay, well, the first thing is that I meet with the designer with their sketches. They have a deadline to meet, and generally there's a preliminary deadline and then a final deadline, and I start meeting with them with the preliminary sketches. But in the case of Tommy, they're pretty much final now because Des has directed it before, Des Makanoff, who is our artistic director who is leaving, but he is directing this year. And the designer, David Woolard from New York, they've both done the show before. So we are working with the same set of designs, and I think Des is just planning to do some updates with the show. So I have met with him, David, and I've been away from work for a few weeks on holidays, but when I go back, I will start budgeting, which means, well, costing. But I take the sketches, and I start, based on the history of the wardrobe, at the festival, I start budgeting, working out how much it's going to cost to build each costume, and I do each costume, each piece, basically from the head down, from the inside out, so that I cost everything. And generally, in the end, my costing comes out, anywhere from $50,000 to $250,000 over what the actual budget is. But
wow.
But that's normal. I mean, we start there with, if we built everything, this is how much it would cost. And then I go into, I guess, negotiations with the designer, and he talks with the director about, okay, we could buy this instead of building it. And like the last time they did Tommy, they had to, in Toronto, they had to build all of the army uniforms, but that's not necessary anymore because there are way more websites that do reproduction uniforms mm-hmm. from World War II. So it's crazy for us to build them because it's much cheaper to order them and than to build them. So
right.
It's things like that where I start with I've budgeted everything to be built, and then we find what can be bought, what could be pulled from our stock, that kind of thing, and we go back and forth until we eventually get them balanced, the costing and the budget. And once that happens, the show is signed off by the production manager, and we start. The designer and his assistant do the shopping for the fabric, and they meet with the cutters, the cutters and their teams and tailors. They start back in January, and the designers come in and chat with them about what they want and what they expect, and each team is assigned a certain number of costumes, and they give them what fabric they have. We've actually already ordered a lot of the fabric for Tommy because it's there are a lot of scenes that are all the same colors,
right.
And so the fabric is all, it's been ordered in bulk, and so we've already ordered it because we know the color and we know where it's coming from. Some of it's coming from the same places it came from 20 years ago. Some of those places don't exist anymore, so it can't. And then, of course, some fabrics, they just don't exist anymore 20 years later. Mm. But but we have an idea of what kind of patterns he wanted in the fabrics and that sort of thing. So we have our buyer out looking, and David's assistant is out looking. And he has a buyer in New York who's swatching there, or someone working for him. So I think it'll be pretty easy when he comes back. He just goes through all the swatches and decides what he wants for which costume, and we will order it, do a lot of phone and internet ordering probably. And then he'll probably do a few days shopping in Toronto, too, for the things that are left over that haven't been bought. And then we start building. And
Elizabeth, I don't want to interrupt you. I just have a question. Mm-hmm. How many, after you go through all this process for a particular show, and, you know, obviously spend a decent amount of money, how do you decide mm-hmm. what you're going to keep, what you're going to, you know, get rid of or whatever?
It's just a chat between the designer and wardrobe and the director. Mostly the designer and director talk, and then the designer comes back.
I remember going through your costume place, and it was just mm-hmm. immense.
Yeah, we have a huge, huge warehouse, and we do recycle costumes, try to reuse them. Some shows, like the musicals, you can't really do that because they're usually not Tommy so much, but most musicals are big dance shows. And, yeah. you know, after 6 to 8 months of dancing in those costumes, they don't really last for another season. So okay. they're there. We rent costumes. Sometimes they get rented out to someplace, you know, that's doing a 3-week run or something, but uh-huh. they would never last for another season here, 6 to 8 months.
For people yeah. that are listening who maybe think that because it's Stratford, that everything is, obviously Tommy isn't, but that everything is Shakespearean, what else is on your season this year?
No, not everything is Shakespearean. Our season that coming up, we have two musicals, Tommy and Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh my gosh. Doing,
We are doing four Shakespeares. I don't know if I'll get them all right, but it's Merchant of Venice, Romeo and Juliet. Sorry, my head's still in last season, so I haven't quite memorized the season coming up yet. But anyone who wants to Google Stratford Shakespeare Festival, the season will come up for next year and everything that we're doing. We have, I believe it's 12 plays this year. There's two.
We'll have a link to the website on the show notes for this episode when it comes up to Elizabeth. So people, if they go to theatergeeks.com, once this episode yep. pops up, we'll have links right to Stratford.
Okay, so and that will tell them. But no, we don't do just Shakespeare. That's our mandate. But we usually do 3 to 4 Shakespeares out of 12 to 16 shows. So there's modern, there's classics. We've done, you know, a lot of the great American classics, Eugene O'Neill and Tennessee Williams. And
I think the best Long Day's Journey into Night that I ever saw was at the Robinson Theater.
Yes, Tom Patterson, yes.
It was wonderful. And that's a long play. And you just didn't even notice that, you know, it was 4 hours had gone by because it was so good.
Yeah, and that's available on DVD, actually.
Is it really?
Wow. And we wonderful. Had, Christopher Plummer was here 2 years ago to do Prospero in Tempest, and that's also available on DVD now, as is Caesar and Cleopatra with Chris and a young girl from New York. So it's, some of our things are available on video, not everything, but quite a few things.
Well, a number of your shows have transferred up onto Broadway from there, have they not?
Yes, Jesus Christ Superstar went mm-hmm. last year and was there, I think it ran about 6 months.
Was it not The Merchant of Venice, did that go?
Merchant of Venice didn't go, but Brian Bedford did take the importance of being earnest.
That's right.
Not with all of the same cast, but he was still in it, and Sarah, the girl who played Gwendolyn, was in it, but the rest of the cast was different. But Superstar was the original cast from here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That went too, yeah.
Are you finding, are your budgets lower now than they used to be given the trend in the economy generally, or are you finding that you and how do you deal with that? You start by asking everything you'd really like and then kind of start to cut back. Are you mm-hmm. having to cut back further now?
Yeah, we are. It's not that the budgets so much are lowering that they haven't gotten higher with everything else, you know. and so our budgets are sort of stuck in the same place. But of course, everything else costs more, and it's a little harder because you have to do a little more cutting than we used to have to do,
right.
and to try and make it work.
Elizabeth, can I ask you just real quick about your background, because I'm really interested in knowing how you got your start. I'm sure you started as an amateur. So where did it go from there?
I learned to sew when I was about eight. My grandmother sat me down at the sewing machine and said, "Would you like to learn to sew?" And I said, "Yes." I don't know what I was thinking, but I said, "Yes." When I left school, I worked for a little while when I left high school, and then I, you know, sort of said to my family, "Okay, I've proved to you all I can support myself. Now I'm going back to school." And I went back, and I went back to study technical theater. And wardrobe's a funny thing. If you're any good, once you get in there, they never let you out and chain you to the tables. And I took stage management and quite a few things, but I ended up in the wardrobe, and I sewed for a good many years. And then I did some, as I said, some design work. And then the opportunity to move into management in the wardrobe came up, and I took it. I missed the creative side of it quite a lot, quite often, but I'm also happy in the job in management too. So it's finding the best or where you have to go in your life, you know,
to want to be a volunteer costumer, you know, I could use somebody down here for a show.
Okay.
Yeah, we just came through a show that was let's say it was a major project costuming wise.
Had no idea frock coats were that difficult to sew.
Yeah.
Yeah, more work than we expected. But anyway, so so we're looking forward to another great season up there at Stratford. Thank you for being with us today to tell us a little bit about what you do up there.
My pleasure.
All right. Just going to wrap up this episode. Remember that you can stop by theatergeeks.com for show notes and links to some of the things that we mentioned here in this episode, as well as the Theater Geeks store, theatergeeks.com/store, where John buys all of his.
I haven't bought underwear yet, but Elizabeth, you could get some underwear there if you'd like.
There you go. Marshall, what do you buy at the online store?
Not much.
Oh, you got a teddy bear?
Yes, you do. What are you talking about? You bought more than I have, probably.
Not for me.
Oh,
I got
sure.
Teddy bear for friends and a coffee mug.
You got a coffee mug. Okay. All
yes.
right. So cool. All right. So anyway, stop by the store. Also, by the way, this is actually episode. I should have mentioned it during the episode we were recording earlier, but this is episode number 76. We are really, I was going to say something special when we hit 75, but I mean, we've done a lot of these. So there are a lot of great topics to go back to. So it's sort of like a library of interesting stuff, and most of it doesn't go out of date. So check that out. Anyway, thank you again, Elizabeth Copeman, Assistant Head of Wardrobe at the Stratford Festival in Stratford, Ontario. Good luck with the new season.
Thank you.
And that's it from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Okay, that's it. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.